2023. You know it so well. I said a few weeks ago, we've made such an emphasis on memorizing it that, and that being the only goal, and that is such a terrible mistake every Sunday school teacher and writer of curriculum has ever made. Because some of the greatest and most powerful revelation in all of Scripture is in seven verses of Psalms 23. I said to you a few weeks ago that all of hell gets nervous. If you will grab the revelation of Psalms 23, you will send the devil running. That sickness will run scared. Debt runs scared. Your enemies run scared. What the enemy does not want. And so we have ended up reducing the revelation of Psalms 23 to a series of scriptures that we memorize without the revelation. And without the revelation of it, there's no power. There's no wow. There's no life-changing experience. There's lacks the ability for you and I to read it, understand it, and believe for something more. And so much of us, we're just used to life as it is. I don't know about you, but as we hear the news and we see headlines and headlines that make my head spin and make me want to explode, you and I now more than ever need revelation, and we need to be a church that's packing power and that can call those things that are not as though they were. To be able to understand what it is to walk in authority. To be able to understand and be able to speak boldly, clearly, and be not afraid of the repercussions. You and I need to understand the fullness of the revelation of Psalms 23 that begins by reading, "The Lord is my shepherd." But 3 weeks ago, I spent the whole time on that and that alone, on the fact that the Lord is my, meaning he is your personal possession. You are not just his, but the Bible says you, he is yours and you are his. But he is your personal possession. I think we spent the entire time right there. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Another translation says, I shall lack no thing. Nothing. If you and I will understand and believe that he is our good shepherd, as we found in John 10, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. Then we know we'll lack no good thing. Whatever you are lacking, it is not a God issue. It is your faith issue. I know that's hard. It is not God. It is you. One of the hardest things to ever admit for every one of us in here who's a control freak and never likes to say, I'm sorry or I was wrong. And I know it's nobody here. Everyone that's like that is on Facebook right now. One of the hardest things for most of us to admit is when we're the problem. And Psalms 23 is letting you know, hey, if things aren't working, it's not me, it's you. Oh, thank you, Lord. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Hallelujah. It goes on to say what? He makes me what? Yes, in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. Thank you, Lord. We're going to probably pick it up there. I don't think I got too far. We got into a little, I gave you a preview. All right. But the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. You know what? You and I need to just thank God. I know none of you like to be controlled. Everyone's, I'm an independent person. Congratulations. But the Lord maketh you. I know everyone in here likes to believe they're in control, and some of you, you can't hold on to relationship because that is your problem. But the Lord, the Bible says, maketh you. There are some things, and some of us need to learn to give God praise because he maketh me. He maketh me. There are some things God wants. I know everyone likes to have an idea, especially in today's culture of the church, that God is a gentleman. Yep, and sometimes he'll shove you. Not often, but sometimes God will push. And this is a moment in Scripture where David helps you and I to understand there are times that the Lord will maketh you. And you're sitting around wondering, what happened? How come that? You know, the Lord maketh me. Lie down in green pastures. You and I need to be able to celebrate and give God praise that there are times where he makes you and I take a moment of rest. That he puts you and I in a green place. that he makes you and I lay down. There are some times that you and I are trying to figure out what's going on in this life or how we ended up here. And sometimes God's just saying, would you rest and be still and know that I am God? I'm trying to give you a green pasture in a desert. But you and I are so used to just doing our own thing and fighting and being in control and trying to make everything happen that when the Lord drops a green pasture in the midst of the desert, you and I are rejecting it. And so he says here, he maketh me lie down in green pastures. Thank you, Lord, for that. It's another way of David saying, I refuse to want. The way that David words this when he says, he makes me lie down in green pastures, in other words, it's David saying, this is God's way of refusing me to want. Hallelujah. It's our way of knowing that if we're in a dry time or a dead time or a difficult time, that a green pasture is coming because that's how God works. He's not leaving you out there to be dried up and dead and to wither in the wilderness. That a green pasture is coming. It's about you and I knowing who God is. Remember I said that all of this in Psalms 23, it's a narration of David saying who he is. It's about me and he. We'll put it that way. David's talking about himself, but he's also then talking about his God. It's helping you and I to get a better understanding of who he is so we can figure out our own self and know that even when I'm in a wilderness, even when I feel like the world is closing in on me, that God will create a green place. He'll create a green pasture that I can rest in, hallelujah, that I can chill out in, that I don't have to keep self-sabotaging myself. I know none of us are ever like that, glory to God. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. God sometimes will just get you to a place where you got to lay down. Yeah. He'll get you to a place where if you were young and you ever got yourself in trouble in church, your mother would pull you to the seat. My mother maketh me sit down. Right? Come on, some of us know what that's about. Where mom and dad will maketh you get in line because you're out of control. God will do that with you and I. He will maketh you lie down in green pastures. He will put you in a green place. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I got to move quickly here. It goes on and says, he leads me beside the still waters. He leads in front of me. Remember, I said last week, the Lord is my shepherd, meaning he's in front of me. I said some of you are losing your mind and you're getting weak and weary and you feel like I can't go through anything more when you're not the one in front anyway. He is. The shepherd goes before you. Hear it again. David says he leads me. In other words, he's in front of me. If you've ever led somebody, you're in front of them. So he leads you. He said he leads me beside still waters, quiet waters, right. Not a rushing river, not an ocean in turmoil, but still waters. He leads me beside still waters. Isn't it interesting how David makes this illustration in the second part after he says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. In other words, he'll make me take a rest to get my peace, to gather myself. He'll force me to do that, but here he leads me. It's just talking about the different sides to God, because all of you have them too. Yeah. All of us are different. All of us have a nice side and a bad side. Catch you on the wrong day. God has many different ways of revealing himself. And so he goes from he maketh me lie down in green pastures to now he leads me beside still waters. Not forcing you to the water, but leading you there. Not forcing it upon you, saying I'll lead you there. This is what's available to you. Oh, hallelujah. Are you with me? We're going somewhere. He leads me. I did a teaching once on Psalms 23, and the real important part of that teaching I remember sharing with the church about the sheep's wool and why this verse is so important. Some of you might know already. Bible says that he leadeth me beside the still waters, and that a good shepherd knows where the calm waters are. A good shepherd knows where the still waters are. And the reason that's important is because the wool of a sheep gets weighty and heavy, you know. Like some of you, if you'd leave your hair go, or if some of those of you who wish you had hair and you could let it go. It gets weighty and it gets heavy. The longer and the more thick it is, the harder it is to dry. Hallelujah. Some of you don't know what that's like. I know. Wet clothes. There you go. And so it's really important that the shepherd knows where the still water is, because sheep are dumb. They lack sometimes the common sense and intelligence. We'll see that again in Psalms 23. And so anytime they get around any water, their natural instinct, because of all that they've been through and the way that they live and their habitat, they just rush to the water. Because they're desperate. How many have ever felt desperate? And anything that looked like a breakthrough or a window of opportunity, you and I go running to. And then later you found out that might have been a trap. It wasn't as it appeared to be. Sometimes people are not who they appear to be. Oh. And so a good shepherd has to lead the sheep to still waters. Because if he leads them to rushing rapids, the sheep doesn't know any better and will go to the rushing rapids. And because of the weight of their wool, when it gets wet, it will drown them. And so a good shepherd knows where the still waters is and leads the sheep to the still waters so they can go to it with the desperation that they have, and not have the shepherd doesn't have to have the fear of losing the sheep in the water, knowing that if something happens at the still water, that they can make it out. Are you understanding a little bit of the parallel, how God is our good shepherd? And he looks out for you and I. And sometimes you and I feel like it's turbulent, that it's more than we can handle. And God's saying, oh no, don't forget, I'm the good shepherd. I'm the good shepherd. I maketh you lie down in green pastures, and I lead you beside still waters. In other words, it's okay. It's all right. Sometimes you might feel like the water's coming up over your neck. Sometimes it feels like it's become way too much, but I am the good shepherd. I'm still in control. Hallelujah. I'll get you out of this. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Good stuff. Thank you, Jesus. I'm grateful God doesn't take us and through things and to things that are too fast for us. But he'll take us to these quiet places, these streams, still waters. Hallelujah. He leads me beside the still waters. In other words, he's bringing you and I to a calm place. In the midst of all of the things that are going on in our world right now, you and I have to allow God to bring you to a calm place. If you fill your mind with chaos and all the things that are around us, you're not going to find a calm place. You and I have to be aware. But he says, he leads me beside the still waters. He'll lead me to a calm place, a place of peace. In other words, this is God's way of refortifying you, helping you, strengthening you, rehabilitating you. Thank you, Lord. I've learned one thing. If you and I are in constant turbulence, it hinders our ability to continually to drink. How many have ever just been on the go and on the go all day long, and then you finally get home and you realize, well, I didn't even eat today, or I didn't even drink today, or I didn't even pee today? You know, we do that. Sometimes I get so busy, and I'm like, how did I forget to do that? How did I forget to get anything to eat? How come I haven't had one cup of coffee all day? Because we get so caught up in turbulent times. And this is God's way of saying, hey, David was saying in the scripture, and God is saying to you, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. In other words, he will lead you to a calm place, to a still place, that our lives do not have to be full of drama and chaos. Thank you, Lord. In other words, if you'll let God in control, you would be drama-free. We've got to learn to let God in control and stop controlling every aspect. Stop allowing our emotions to get the best of us. Glory to God. And say, Lord, you are my shepherd. I will want for nothing. I want for nothing. You lead me. Or you maketh me first lie down in green pastures, and you lead me beside still waters. Jesus, take the wheel. We've got to give up our control so we can have some peace and understanding and refuge and find ourselves refortified and strengthened. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God has some still waters for you and I. Quiet places, a place to refresh you and renew you and restore you. I've learned one thing about turbulent times. Oftentimes, if it's turbulent, it's probably a trap. Same thing with the sheep. The Bible says he will lead you beside still waters. And if it's not still and it's not quiet and it's not a peaceful place, it's a trap. Don't get hooked on the drama. Hallelujah. There's truth in that. Look, and it all was right here. God was saying right in the Word in Psalms 23 for you and I to stop being drama queens. You know? Don't get hooked up in all of that stuff. David said it first. He's going to lead me beside still waters. He's not going to keep me in a turbulent place. You and I have got to stop hanging around places that are turbulent all the time. Because it gets into my spirit, it disrupts me, and it hinders my ability to believe that God is more than that. And God wants you to understand that he is a shepherd, and he'll not lead you to a turbulent place, but you will. Your flesh will take you there. And then we'll find ourselves crying out, God, where are you? God, I feel weary, I'm tired, I'm worn. Hallelujah. I've learned one thing, that God needs stillness to operate in our life. That's why he will lead you and I to still waters. Still waters, because he needs you and I to be in a calm place for him to really move in our life. Hallelujah. Are you still with me? Hang with me here. I'm going to skip a bunch of stuff. Oh, Lord. Forgive me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He leads me beside still waters. Give me the next verse. You gotta wake him up sometimes upstairs. Huh? Yeah, I wanted y'all to see it. Good Lord. Come on, just pray for him upstairs, would you? Just pray for her. She needs our prayers, obviously. All right, eventually. Yeah, look at it. He restoreth. Ah. He maketh me, he leadeth me, he restoreth me. Oh, just think about that. He restoreth my soul. He restoreth my soul. He needs to restore your soul. My mind, my will, my emotions. That's what it is, your soul. He needs to restore. You remember I had alluded to it a few weeks ago. To restore means better than the initial quality. Better than the initial quality. So however you were before the trauma, however you and I were before that in our life, before whatever it was that broke you, busted you, caused all the heartache, whatever it was before that part of our past ever happened, God will make it better and more whole than that to restore you to a superior quality. He restoreth my mind. He restoreth my will. He restoreth my emotions. Hallelujah. I don't have to be a nervous wreck all the time. Because he restoreth. He leadeth me. He maketh me. He restoreth me. I mean, just listen to those three things. He maketh me. He leadeth me. He restoreth me. Hallelujah. In other words, you and I will come through like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego come through the fire, but not smelling like smoke, because he restoreth my soul. He will put you back to better quality than before it ever happened. That's what he wants you and I to understand about him. Hallelujah. Better quality than ever before. Thank you, Jesus. He restores my soul. Restoration in our life, restoration in our church, restoration in our families, all of these things. In other words, God's saying to you, I'll give you your peace back. God's saying, I'll give you your joy back. Whatever it is that's missing, when it says, I'll restore your soul, in anything to do with your mind, your will, and your emotions, I'm going to restore it to you. I'm going to give it to you back. You'll get your happiness back. But more than your happiness, I'll give you your joy back. More than that, I'll give you your life back. More than that, I'll give you your deliverance back. More than that, I'll give you whatever it is that you've been missing or lacking. I'm going to restore it to you. I'm going to leadeth you. I'm going to restore you. I'm going to make you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, that you know what I need better than I know what I need. I screw it up, God. Thank you, Lord. I love Psalms 23. See, Psalms 23 is a lot of hope because the enemy thinks oftentimes that he'll have you. If you've been in a low place, and I know throughout the last year, a lot of people have just been on like an emotional roller coaster. And just when the enemy thinks he has you, this is why you need Psalms 23. It's because if you have the revelation and the power of it, and you just begin to recite it and read it or even pray it, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And you begin to do that, and you get down to this verse when you say, He leads me beside still waters. Right? He restoreth my soul. That is you and I just letting the devil know that sometimes often when the devil thought that he had you, but the Lord restoreth your soul. Just when the enemy thinks he has you in a place of breaking you or destroying you or ending you or causing you to live in a place of hopelessness, David said right here that he restoreth my soul. I was down and I was out. I felt hopeless and discouraged. I felt like I had gone to hell and back, but God, but my shepherd, the Lord who is my shepherd, he restoreth my soul. Hallelujah. That in itself is a weapon to the enemy, reminding him that the Lord our God is a restorer. Yes, he is. Hallelujah. He goes on in Psalms 23. The next verse says, what? That he leads me in the paths of righteousness. There he's leading us again. Mm-hmm. That right there is a whole message of its own, but I like the fact that he says he leads me on the path of righteousness, because righteousness itself is a path. Sometimes we get off of it. Sometimes you all don't want to act righteous. Mm-hmm. Yes. But thank God he kept me on the path. Amen. Even when you don't want to act righteous, he'll bring you back to the righteous path. Because that is the good shepherd. That is what he will do. Sometimes you will go out for a season and act crazy, act a fool, and do things that, you know, aren't awesome or amazing. Maybe you think they are at the time, but David says, he leads me on the path. He will bring you back. He will get you back on the path. Hallelujah. That in itself is something for you and I to give God praise to. In other words, God says, fine, you can go. Be crazy, but I'm going to bring you back to the path. He leads me. He leads me in the path of righteousness. Yes, he does. Oh, then the next verse. This is important. This is good. Yay. Yay. Say yay.
Yay.
Mm-hmm. At least you're awake. Yay, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. My God. Some of the best goodness. Yay, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. We're going to stop. I know it goes on, but stop there. Yay. That in itself is celebration. Yay! Your sports team wins, you'll yell, yay! You're happy, yay! You caught a sale that was 50% off, yay! Yeah. David's saying, yay! Though I walk through the valley, my God. Look what he says, yay, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Notice David's saying, I'm going to walk through the valley. The valley's not going to walk through me. He's saying, I walk. Why is David able to walk? Because he is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. Right. He leads me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. So yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, because of the shepherd that I have, I'm able to walk through and not allow what's going on walk through me. Hallelujah. Because he is the good shepherd. I hope somebody's with me, Lord, or I'll just get myself excited. Hallelujah. In other words, it's another way of God, of David illustrating back to our first week when I said the Lord is my shepherd. And we actually introduced this whole series in John 10. When Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. Introducing to you that because he's your shepherd, he fights for you. It's another example of David saying, hey, if you're going to fight me, you're not going to just fight me. You're going to have to fight God. Because yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and he goes on just for a moment, I will fear no evil. Why am I going to fear no evil? Because you, the good shepherd, are with me. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Yes. Watch this. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow. The shadow. How many have ever been scared of shadows? Some of you still are. Mm-hmm. The shadow. Sometimes things look more frightening as a shadow. How many have ever walked in the sunlight, maybe on your way walking in, and your shadow was on the pavement as you walked in? And it follows you right in. Right? You can stand next to someone outside in the sunlight, and you can hit them with your shadow. Right? You can swing your arms and act crazy. And when you swing your arms, you're not hitting the person if you just swing them the right way and it looks like your shadow hits their shadow. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. That oftentimes 1,000 will fall at one side. 10,000 at the other, the Bible says. But it will not come near me. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, things will come near. Sometimes things will look like, hello, are you with me? Sometimes it'll look like things are going to be devastating. Sometimes it will look like things are going to hurt you or hit you. Hallelujah. But David said, even though and even when I walk through the valley of the shadow, it's only a shadow. It's only a shadow. Watch, I'm going to go somewhere, I think. Today or next week. The valley of the shadow of death. The shadow is just an image. Right? It's not really there. Sometimes you can turn the lights off, lay in bed, and what you have around your room will look like other things than what they are, but it's just a shadow. And the enemy is really good at causing you and I to get freaked out and get nervous and feel defeated over shadows. Things that aren't really there. Things that cause us to become anxious and panicked, full of anger, and to lose our peace. Come on, somebody. And so David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow. In other words, David wants you and I to learn right here that you and I have got to learn to walk in the shadow. In other words, the shadow isn't going to go anywhere. The enemy is always going to be lurking to seek out whom he may devour. The enemy is always going to be there. That's why David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow. He's walking through a valley where there's 6,000 dead people. And he's saying, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. In other words, he's saying, death is all around me. The enemy stands all about me. I will fear no evil, though. Because he understood who his shepherd was. He understood who he was. He understood 1,000 can fall at one side, 10,000 at the other, but it shall not come near me. Hallelujah. He understood what it is to be a shepherd, because remember, David himself is and was a shepherd. David understood when he says right here in the text, and he says that, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. David understood one important thing, and that sometimes we get wrong in our understanding about what a shepherd, and we make shepherds look cute. We put shepherds in a Christmas or Easter play, and we make them look like approachable. No. A real shepherd is not anyone to mess with. A shepherd is not passive like you and I. A shepherd does not just roll over and let you do whatever you want to them. A shepherd doesn't let you get within any herding distance of their flock. In other words, a shepherd is not passive, but a shepherd is aggressive. And David understood that about God. David understood, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, right? He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He understood all of those things. And then when he gets to this verse, when he says right here, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he said, I will fear no evil because you are with me. Who? The good shepherd is with me. Why is he able to say that? Because he understood that one part that I shared with you just a little bit earlier. I gave you a sneak preview. He understood that if you're going to fight me, you've got to fight him. And you don't want to fight him. I might not intimidate my enemies, but God will intimidate my enemies. He understood that. He understood that, God is not one that's going to roll over any more than David was one that was going to run over. But he understood that a shepherd is aggressive because David was aggressive. Hallelujah. And that sometimes you can wear an individual out fighting, but you can't wear God down fighting. You and I need to understand that about ourselves. You and I need to understand that about who God is, that God is not passive. Say that out loud. God is not passive. He's aggressive. When it comes to someone messing with you and I, this is why you and I have to stop living our lives as though we're defeated. Stop worrying about what people are saying about you or doing to you. I refuse to live my life worrying about what people are saying. And you will too. You will cease to care what people say when you understand Psalms 23. What they say is none of my business. Why? Because when they come for you, God goes for them. Hallelujah. Let God deal with them. When you and I get in the midst, you always make it worse. Let God get them. Let God get them. Let God be your shepherd. That's what a shepherd does. A shepherd will always, stay at the gate of the flock and watch what comes in and only allow what comes in and what can go out. It guards his flock. That's what God is doing for you and I at all times. He is warring on your behalf. He's watching who comes in your circle. And sometimes God's trying to get people out of your circle. Let them go. Why? Because he leads you in the path of righteousness' sake. Right? God, he is leading you, guiding you, restoring you all this time. And so David's able to say that yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow, he's saying, hey, it's only a shadow. My enemies are only a shadow because I trust in my shepherd more than I do anything else. I'm not going to trust in the shadow. I'm not going to trust in my enemy. I trust in the Lord is my shepherd. In other words, I know my shepherd better than I do anybody else. That's why we can confidently say, that's why you and I can pray. That's why you and I can decree and declare, 1,000 can fall at one side and 10,000 at the other, but it will not, it shall not, ain't no way, because you haven't met my shepherd. Is it going to harm me? That's the God that we serve. Because you're not fighting me, you're fighting God. Come for me and see God show up. I want you to get that in your spirit. Come on. That if they come for you, they're coming for God. Just let God be God. Stop posting it on Facebook. Grow up. Let God be God. If we're doing that, I'm telling you, that's you fighting your battle. That is not God. That's your flesh. That's God not showing up on your behalf. That's when you'll know it's God, when you and I sit back and say nothing and then just let God work it out. God will cause your enemies to bless you if you'll shut your mouth. Sometimes that's what he's saying here. Be still and know that I am God. The Lord is my shepherd. In other words, there's times I've just got to learn to be quiet. And when I learn to be quiet, my shepherd will show up and fight my battles. I don't need to fight him with my mouth. Oh, hallelujah. Because my shepherd's showing up. He will fight on my behalf and for me. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I will bless the Lord at all times. How can I bless? Some of you are still confused by that. How we can bless the Lord in the good, the bad, and the ugly. It's because I understand who my shepherd is. That even if I'm lacking in an area, I know that he restoreth my soul. I know that he leadeth me. I know that he guides me. I know that he stands at the gate and watches. You've got to trust in him above all else. One of the surest ways that we've learned just this morning to know if it's God or not is it turbulent? If it is turbulent, he is not going to send you into a turbulent place to cause you to drown under the pressure you're already in. That's not God. He will lead you beside still waters. Yes, he will. Hallelujah. Still waters, because he's my good shepherd. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because I'm not fighting alone. I'm not fighting alone. The good shepherd's fighting for me. The good shepherd's fighting for you. Hallelujah. Does not the Bible say, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved? He's fighting for me. So even when you and I are in trouble, even when you and I are in need of help, we just got to call Jesus. The Bible says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord, it's in your Bible. I'm not teaching you something that's not there. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So when you're in trouble, when you feel like it's becoming too much, when you feel like you're weighted down, burdened down, overwhelmed, becoming weary, tired, whatever it may be, he says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Say Jesus.
Jesus.
Say Jesus.
Jesus.
Jesus. Say it again.
Jesus.
Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Because he's coming for you. See, that's what I love about God. He ain't just coming for my enemy. He's coming for me when I'm in trouble. I love that about God. He's going for them and rescuing me at the same time. God is big and bad enough. He's picking you up, throwing you over his shoulder, carrying you out, and fighting your enemy on the way out. Think about that. I get that kind of mental picture, right? That is God. Because whoever calls on his name, they will and shall be saved. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory. Look what it says in the next verse. Goes on to say, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Jesus. The rod, the stick the shepherd will use to beat up the enemy. They'll bring comfort. He'll beat back the enemy. If the wolf comes to devour the sheep, the shepherd will protect the sheep and beat the wolf with the rod. And the staff will rescue me when I get in trouble. It's got a hook on it. It'll pull you back in. That's why they can bring comfort. Mm-hmm. Any of you that pack, you pack comfort. Some of you call it peace. Hello. Right? What was it they said? It's not just your piece of steel. It's peace be still when that's in my hand. Some of you will get it later. And so his rod and his staff, they comfort me. Take comfort in knowing they're not going to get you. Take comfort and let them talk. Take comfort and you don't have to respond to everything they say or they do. His rod and his staff should comfort you. Knowing that if it's them, he'll get them. He'll beat them. And if it's you, he'll hook you. He'll bring you back in. His rod and his staff, they comfort me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Look, it goes on real quick. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. In other words, God says, right in the middle of people talking about you and ridiculing you and being mean to you and all the things that people can do, right in the middle of your enemy attacking you and all that, I'm going to set you up a table and you're going to have dinner. I mean, just think about it. You're in the midst of under attack, letting the enemy, letting your enemies attack you, do things to you, hurt you, harm you, and all that thing. And right here in the Word, David says, Lord, you prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. God's saying, yeah, I love you so much. I want to bless you so much that in the midst of your enemies, and I want them to see me bless you. See, most of you are praying, God, get them out of my life. God says, no, that's not what my Word says. My Word says, I want to bless you and make them watch. You're trying to pray them away, and God says, no, I'm not done blessing you yet. See, you're trying to get the miracle of God and the blessing of God out of order, and it will never come out of order. That's why you need to understand Psalm 23 and say, Lord, I thank you that they're talking about me. Now, Lord, I just thank you that you're preparing a table before me. Yes, Lord, good cutlery and all, real silver and all. And God, I'm going to have a seat, lean back, recline, and eat my dinner while allowing my enemies to catch the view. That is not you and I having pride. That is you and I having confidence in who God says that he is and what he'll say he'll do for you. Stop addressing your enemies as if they matter, because they don't. That's what he's saying. No need to address them. I've got them. I got a stick with their name on. I'm going to beat them. I'm going to knock them out. I'm going to take them out. That's what God's saying. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Maybe some of you, instead of putting your prayer request up on the wall, you need to put your enemies on the wall and say, Lord, I thank you that you have a stick with their name on it. And give them to God, finally. Yeah, that's good. Thank you, Jesus. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And then he goes on to say, what in the next verse? You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Oh, there's that running over again. You anoint my head with oil. Why does a shepherd anoint the heads of the sheep with oil? I just love God. I love his word and the truth of it and all the revelation. You anoint my head with oil. We'll pause there for a moment. You anoint my head with oil. A shepherd anoints the heads of the sheep for a couple of reasons, but as you and I know, by being honest with ourselves, that sometimes we can all be nosy and curious. I know none of us worship with anyone who's ever nosy or curious or sticks their nose in places that it don't belong. None of you, I know. None of you secretly go cruising on Facebook to see what so-and-so is up to. And yet you ain't friends. The reason a shepherd anoints the head of a sheep with oil is so that when they stick their head in a hole that does not belong, it can get out. Oftentimes, sheep are known to stick their head in snake holes. And so the oil, watch this, is a snake repellent. And so even if the snake strikes, it has no success. But even more than that, in the spiritual sense, he anoints my head with oil. In other words, whatever the enemy or my enemies are going to try to do with me, it's a repellent. It has no effect. Ever try to grease a pole? We did that over at the school because the kids kept trying to get up on the roof of the school and about send me into a heart attack every time I got the call. Neighborhood kids would climb on the top of that roof of that school because it's flat and big and they think they're going to have a grand old time. We go running over. Finally, David's like, let's grease the poles. I said, okay. We grease the poles. Guess what? It's like, you know, trying to hold a stick of melted butter. You can't get up. He anoints my head with oil. In other words, it's another way of God trying to protect your head, your mind, the oil. I thank God for the oil. And so a shepherd would anoint the heads of the sheep to, one, get them out of trouble if they choose to be nosy, get them out and help them when they stick their nose in a place that it does not belong. Hallelujah. Because the oil itself is a repellent. The anointing oil of God is a repellent. against all the things that the enemy would want to do to you and I. That's why the Bible says, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. The Bible doesn't say that the weapons won't form. Watch the Bible. It very clearly says no weapon formed. He's not saying that weapons won't come. He's not saying that enemies won't come. He's not saying that people aren't going to try to do things to you. What he does say is no weapon that anyone brings against you, nothing that anyone tries to do against you will prosper. That's what the anointing oil does for the sheep, and that's what God's anointing does for you and I. It allows that no weapon formed against you shall be able to prosper. They're still going to talk. Enemies are still going to show up. People are still going to try to do things. But glory to God, no, they're not going to prosper. Hallelujah. Why? Because the good shepherd protected me. That's what a good shepherd done. All through Psalms 23, the shepherd is protecting. And here again, in this verse, he anoints my head with oil. He's protecting me. It goes on and says, he anoints my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Because I'm not just going to bless you. I'm going to bless everything you touch. That's what he's saying. I'm not going to just bless you. I'm going to bless you till it's running over. I'm going to bless you till it's more than enough. I'm going to bless everything you touch. That's where we get into, and boy, I don't have the time, but that's where we get into a generational blessing and breaking generational curses. Because if you and I would get a hold of Psalms 23, I'm telling you, if you will believe it, you'll see a total divine reversal in everything in your life, your mental state, your emotions, your finances. Yes, your finances. And you will be able to leave an inheritance instead of worrying about not having one to leave. Because he says right here, I anoint your head with oil. Your cup runs over. The Bible also says that we're a joint heir with him. We're inheritors of him. Meaning everything that God has, we have. So then explain to me why God, who owns a cattle on a thousand hill, has all things and has every resource you and I ever need, why so much of the church is such in lack and need? Because we haven't got a hold of what it is to be an inheritor. We haven't got a hold of what it is to really trust the good shepherd, that he will leadeth you, guideth you, protects you, cause you to rest at near still waters, all of those things. My cup runneth over. He wants everything that you touch to be blessed, everything that you touch to be filled to running over. That's what he wants for you and I. Are you hearing me today? Hallelujah. That's the God that we serve. That's the God that we serve. I gotta get ready to wrap it up with this, but look what he says in the next verse. Are you all still there? We'll probably be back on the subject next week because I'm moving so fast, I'm not getting to everything I want to. Whew. My cup runs over. That's why I had you lift your hands earlier to receive it. Some of you need to get used to receiving. I've said this before. Michelle, I'm sure you remember me saying it years and years ago, how so many people have a problem receiving. The reason some of many in the church have such a problem receiving from their heavenly Father is because you won't trust man to receive anything. Amen. And by man I mean man or woman, mother or father. And so you just assume everyone that you assume the God that you worship is like everyone else in your circle. A big disappointment. And he is not that. How do I know? Verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely goodness, surely goodness, surely goodness and mercy. Hallelujah. Goodness and mercy. So what's the picture David gives us here as we get ready to close? The picture that David gets ready to give us right here is a shepherd in front of us, protecting and leading us, guiding us, leading me by still waters, all of the things that we've read. Get the picture. A shepherd in front of you. And then David wraps this chapter up and he says, but surely goodness and mercy will follow me. In other words, we're protected in the front and we're protected in the back. In other words, that my shepherd goes before me, leading me, guiding me, protecting me, taking me where I need to go, keeping me from harm. And he describes it as surely goodness and mercy. In other words, it's absolute. let me make what David's statement here, let me make it very clear to you. In other words, you don't have to do anything. It's just there. There's areas in Scripture where God's asking something from you to receive something. Salvation is one of those. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, you shall be saved. God's saying, I have to get something from you to give this to you. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It's just there. You don't have to do anything else. The moment that you and I became a blood-bought believer of Jesus Christ, got saved, cleansed, washed clean, surely goodness started following you. Goodness and mercy started following you. And the Bible says all of the days of your life. Now, the reason that's important is because just a couple verses earlier when David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why is that important? It's important because for every shadow, there is a surely. A surely. Can you hear me, Lois? For every shadow, there is a surely. Did you hear me? David was able to say with confidence, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. You are with me. And he's able to wrap up this chapter by saying, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. That's why I said, for every shadow in your life, there is a surely. Some of you and I need to just get used to waking up every morning, looking over our shoulder and say, hi, goodness, hi, mercy. You and I need to understand that whatever it is that we're going through right now, the shepherd is in front of you, the good shepherd. And goodness and mercy, they're already following you. All the days of your life. Goodness and mercy. I don't care what enemy, I don't care what attack, I don't care what people do to you, I don't care how messed up we are in our mind, I don't care what place of need we are right now, I don't care how many of us have said I need a breakthrough, or we're praying for a breakthrough for somebody else, or believe in God for somebody's name up there, or been through hell or back, or what big things we're believing for. The Lord is my shepherd, period. I shall not want. And surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. He's with you now. He's in your midst now. He's been in our midst all morning long as we've worshiped together. He's here, and the shepherd wants to help you, wants to protect you, wants to lead you beside still water. In other words, God's saying, you're in my presence. I'm trying to put you in a still, calm place. Just receive. That's what he's brought you to today, a still, calm place. So just receive while you're there. The reason the shepherd leads the sheep to the still waters is so that they can drink without drowning, so they can get refreshed, not have to fight to get renewed. Some of us have had to fight all of our life for everything that you possess right now. And what God wants you and I to learn, while so much of the church focuses a lot of time on warfare, if you understood the good shepherd, you'd spend a whole lot less time in warfare. Because most of it's craziness. If you understand the good shepherd, he's fighting and you didn't even have to ask. He's dealing with your enemies and you don't have to even ask. Because the Lord is your shepherd and he's gone before you. Amen? Hallelujah. Stand to your feet, if you will. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me. He maketh me. He leadeth me. He restoreth. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory, glory. I want to challenge you this morning. I want to challenge you as we get ready to just close here. I want to challenge you by asking you, will you surrender to the Good Shepherd? Will you let the Shepherd lead you? Will you let the Shepherd maketh you? Hallelujah. That we need to just surrender our agendas to the Shepherd and understand He goes before me. The Lord is my Shepherd and I shall not want. He's going to maketh you and I lie down in green pastures. He's going to do everything that we've covered in this text of the last couple of weeks. He's going to do it all. And you and I just need to surrender to the process and say, God, I thank you that you know what's best. You go before me as my Shepherd, and goodness and mercy, they're following me. I think we said sometime several months ago, there are bodyguards. Goodness and mercy. You didn't even know you needed them, but God gave them to you. No need to walk in fear because you got bodyguards. No need to walk in fear because your Shepherd, He's packing a rod with your enemy's name on it. So God's saying, don't lose any more sleep over what's going wrong, over what's not working, over health issues. Don't lose any more sleep about financial issues, all the things that, in the list of things that goes wrong in our life, God's got to stick with its name on it. Because He's my Shepherd, and he causes me, because He's my Shepherd, to live in a place that I shall not want. I'm not going to want for anything. My God. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. As we close in prayer, will you just surrender where you are? Of course, if you need prayer, we're going to pray with you. We're happy to do it. You can come and we're going to believe God, pray the prayer of faith, and believe God for miracles that we've already been believing for. But I want this morning, as we prepare to close, I want every one of us in this place just to surrender and say, Lord, be my Shepherd. God, I'm going to stop trying to lead and start just learning to follow you. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you today for your word. I thank you, God, for these last few weeks, God, the in-depth and at times, God, just powerful, eye-opening, life-changing revelation that, God, helps us understand you. God, helps us to understand more about who we are. God, helps us to put our total trust, our total faith and hope in you, knowing that, God, that you are in control of all things. God, I pray right now. Lord, I just pray Psalms 23, God, over your people. God, I decree it, I just declare it. Lord, over everyone under the sound of my voice, Lord, that you are our Shepherd. Lord, we shall not want. Lord, you make us lie down in green pastures. The God, you lead me beside still waters. You restore my soul. Lord, you lead me in the paths of righteousness for your name's sake. God, I thank you that yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Lord, for you, O God, you're with me. Lord, your rod and your staff, God, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You're going to make them watch, God. Everybody that cursed me, God, everybody that attacked us, God, you're going to make them get front row seats to how you're going to bless us. Lord, you anoint my head with oil. In other words, God wants somebody to hear right there what they try to do to you, they cannot. You anoint my head with oil, what they try to do. In other words, every lie you and I've ever believed, you cannot. It's not truth. He anoints your head with oil. Your cup runneth over. Hallelujah. Father, just anoint our heads with oil. That God, everything that has ever attacked our mind, that has penetrated our thought pattern, any wrong or false belief about ourselves, God, I thank you that it's dispelled and cursed today. Why? Because you anoint our head. Anoint us, God, right now with the oil of the Holy Spirit. Anoint us that our cup runs over. Because, Lord, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. God, I thank you that you sent me bodyguards even when we had no idea that we needed them. Father, I pray that, Lord, you would help us to take the truth and the power and the revelation of this word, that, God, we would be able to leave this place and just encounter you in a brand new way. God, encounter you in our faith and our walk with you in a brand new way. Understand that, God, you are a great big shepherd. God, you are big and bad. God, I'm not going to fear. God, I thank you that sleepless nights are a thing of the past. God, I thank you that walking in fear is over. God, I thank you that everything that has been attacking our minds and our bodies and our life is over. I thank you that we call those things to naught in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you that every attack, everything attacking our body, our minds, our emotions, God, everything that has been working against us, God, we call it to null and void right now in the name of Jesus, because Psalms 23 is alive, active, and well over our life. My shepherd goes before me. Goodness and mercy are following me. And so therefore, Lord, I will fear no evil because, Lord, you are with me. You are with me. Lord, we can be sleeping in bed all by ourselves, but Lord, you're with me. God, I thank you that I may have more enemies than I do friends, but Lord, you are with me. God, I thank you that someone might be out to destroy or kill us. I thank you that God, John 10 says that the thief comes, the enemy comes, but to steal, kill, and to destroy. But you, God, Lord Jesus, you come that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Who, my good shepherd? So thank you, Lord, that peace is mine. We receive peace. We receive peace. Lord, as we surrender right now to the shepherd, as we surrender right now to you, God, I thank you for the week ahead. I thank you that you're going before your people. You're going to cause opportunities of blessing. I thank you that, Lord, you're going to begin to bless people with their enemies having a front row seat. I thank you that, Lord, you're going to begin to reveal yourself in marvelous and brand new ways. I thank you that, Lord, you will start a chain of events in the lives of these people that is unstoppable. A chain of events that's unstoppable. Go before your people this week. Bless them. Encourage them. Lord, let your word from Psalms 23 be a reminder to them that you're the good shepherd and that you go before them and that their bodyguards are with them. God, I praise you. Lord, I thank you. As we leave this place, God, bless every tithe, bless every offering, bless everyone that's mailed one in, bless everybody who gives online. Father, I thank you, Lord, for increase today in their life and in this ministry. I thank you that we'll be able to do far more, reach far more than we ever have before because of faithful obedience and because, God, you're a God of multiplication. Bless the givers in this place. Bless them. Multiply it back to them in the name of Jesus. We give you glory, honor, and praise to our shepherd, our King, Jesus Christ. We love you. Amen.